Game day. Babe Laufenberg at 8:40 to preview. Mike Silver, NFL Network at 9:20. We had this guy on last year, and we thought he was good enough to preview again. Cowboys Giants on this radio station here with Sean, RJ, and Bobby. And who can remember the pizza that Paul Schwartz has in his Twitter profile picture?
Oh, no.
What was the pick? What was the pizza?
Domino's.
No.
Probably not Domino's. Just going to guess that one. I don't remember. I don't remember what it was.
Paul, John's a bleak. What's the pizza?
Full disclosure, I had some last night.
Oh.
Okay. It is a place called Umberto's.
There we go.
Umberto's, a couple of Long Island locations. And if you guys remember, that was the famous pizza that the Giants ate in 2011 before every game. And it was actually shipped to Indianapolis for the Super Bowl.
Wow.
And so, you know, I think it's the food of champions back in 2011.
All right.
Last night, it was just the food for me, no champions. Just me.
All right, rank the three areas for pizza between New York, Jersey, and Connecticut. Because people say the Connecticut undercover really has the best.
Oh. Well, Connecticut, that New Haven area,
yeah.
It's a small little area. So, I mean, statewide, I think we're going to have to go New York, definitely. New York, Connecticut, New Jersey, I would say in that order. Okay. And Dallas is around, 47, 48?
Like you guys for barbecue, probably. Actually, you guys probably have better barbecue than we have pizza.
I've had some good meals in Dallas, yes. So I'm not going to – I don't go there for pizza, but I've had some good meals in Dallas. So everybody – has its strengths and its weaknesses, right?
Is the water really the difference? Like, if I shipped water here from New York, we'd be able to replicate the pizza.
I think that's more of a deal with bagels.
Okay.
I think water for bagels. I think in New York, there's something about it. Maybe all the amoebas and protozoas or whatever the hell we have in our water.
East River water.
Yeah, whatever we have. But I think it's the ingredients. It's the sauce. It's the that extra, who knows what it is, who knows, but it's caring. The people in New York care more about pizza than they do in Dallas, and the people in Dallas care more about barbecue than they do in New York. So it's all about caring, isn't it? It's caring.
Well, yeah. Paul, it feels like we're teetering around here. I said that this is a must-win game for Mike McCarthy to survive or have any chance of coming back next year, that they have to win this game tonight. How worried do you think Cowboy fans should be that the Giants can actually pull off this upset?
Worried certainly, because I understand, we all live in our little igloos, right? And, I know in Dallas the sky is falling.
Yeah.
Look, the sky was falling after 2 weeks in New York. There's no question about it. They just lost a horrible game to the Commanders because they didn't have a kicker. You know what I mean? They literally didn't have a kicker and were going for 2-point conversions and passing up easy field goals in a 3-point loss in Washington. So, after two games, it was okay, who's the first pick in the draft going to be? And, how are the Giants going to get this quarterback? And then all of a sudden they win a game in Cleveland and, okay, now the Giants have a shot here. I don't disagree with you that, if the Cowboys are 1-3 after four games with a loss on Thursday Night Football to the Giants, look, the Giants never beat the Cowboys in prime time. They've beaten them, 6 in a row and 13 out of 14. If Mike McCarthy at any point in his career can rally the troops, right? I mean, from what I read there, everybody's upset. CeeDee Lamb is upset and the defense is upset. Everybody's upset. If they can't figure it out and beat the Giants, who have some things in their favor, but not enough. I mean, these rosters are not comparable. Then I think, 1-3. I think the Cowboys are. I'm sure you find people in that area will take it all to heart and not blame it all on the coach and all these other things. But look, Dak Prescott has won the last 12 games against the Giants. Even Roger Staubach didn't do that. So they I would expect them to figure out a way to beat the Giants tonight.
Paul, do the Giants have a rushing attack that can continue to expose this historically bad run defense?
Well, it's funny. In other years, I would have said yes because of Saquon Barkley, but absolutely not because of the offensive line. Today, I will tell you, you know, not necessarily because of Devin Singletary. You know, he's a mid-level running back. He's had some nice wiggle, but maybe because of the offensive line, which is better. It is not a dominant offensive line. I think it's a better pass-protecting offensive line than a blow-you-off-the-ball run-blocking offensive line. But you know what? The one thing I can say about the offensive line this year is they know what they're doing. You know what I mean? They have a sense of what they're doing. They have, you know, Andrew Thomas is a terrific left tackle. They imported veterans like John Runyon, who plays one of the guard spots, Jermaine Illuminor, who plays right tackle, Greg Van Roten, who is 34 years old and, you know, probably more suited to backup role, but at least he knows what he's doing at you know, one of the guard spots, and a second-year center in John Michael Schmitz, who is developing is the kind word I would say, but at least he has guards on either side of him who know what they're doing, which was not the case at last year. So, you know, I don't look, it's not Derrick Henry. You know, Daniel Jones does pose a threat running, but not like, you know, some of these studs, you know, certainly, you know, not like Lamar Jackson. So I think they have a chance to do some damage, but, you know, I don't see 215 rushing yards. No.
Paul Schwartz from the New York Post joining us here on 105 Through the Fan. Paul, Brian Daboll taking over play calling this year. What are the early returns on that and sort of the comfort level for Daniel Jones within the offense?
Well, you know, Brian Daboll took over the play calling this year, and basically he tries to look for Malik Nabers on every play. and they did not have that the last few years, right? So, I mean, it's a little different. You know, it's like look, he was targeted 18 times in one of these games, right? 12 targets. But you know what? It's not like if he's going to go down, he's going to go down, you know, calling his own shots. I don't think it was as dramatic as that. But I think, you know, 2 years ago, Brian Daboll rightly looked at himself as a novice head coach and said, you know what, I need to focus on everything out here, and I'm going to give it to a promising play caller, Mike Kafka, who learned it at the feet of Andy Reid. You know, and I don't think Mike Kafka was incompetent by any stretch, but Brian Daboll is one of the best in the league at this. You know what I mean? So I think after 2 years and a bad year last year, he comes out and thinks, you know what, it's me. You know, I can handle it. I can handle the rest of the operation here. You know, I need to call the plays. I think it's been good. He's aggressive. You know, you just don't second guess because you can't, you know, look in the mirror and second guess yourself. He does want to take deep shots. That's one thing that has not connected so far with Malik Nabers. He's done everything else, but they tried two or three deep shots in Cleveland. They did not connect. But, you know, he's not afraid to run the ball. But Brian Daboll is first and foremost. He wants to spread you out and get the ball to the playmakers, get it out of the quarterback's hands quickly. And that's what I assume he'll try to do tonight because, as you know, the offensive line is better, but I still think they have to be wary of Micah Parsons and, you know, a line that historically has been able to give the Giants problems.
Does he have to make the playoffs to keep his job?
No, I don't think so, no. Look, at 0-2, you start thinking to yourself, okay, if this team's going to win two or three games, look, you have to help yourself in anything in life, right? You know, I don't think he went into this year. You know, don't forget, he was the coach of the year in 2022. You know, that just doesn't go away. And last year there were some issues. Obviously, he and Wink Martindale by the end did not see eye to eye at all, and Wink cursed them out and walked out the door and walked all the way to Ann Arbor, apparently, because now he's the Michigan defensive coordinator. So last year was not a good year for Daboll, but, you know, Daboll, in the midst of all that, lost his two starting quarterbacks and, you know, figured out how to win three games with a guy named Tommy DeVito, who was, you know, you guys saw in his first NFL start and, you know, it was 49-17 or something like that. You know, it was not that. I remember getting on the plane for a fairly long flight to Dallas last year and thinking there is no chance the team I'm covering is going to compete in this game. You know, that's a weird feeling. And it was true. It was absolutely true. It was 28-0 at halftime. So, no, the Brian Daboll is not on the hot seat. But, like I said, you have to help yourself. And going, you know, 3-14 is not helping yourself. If the Giants are – if the arrow is somewhat in pointing in the right direction, I think he and Joe Shane stay.
Is Daniel Jones dead man walking? Is this his final year?
Well, that's a different story. That's a different story. I mean, Daniel Jones is you know, he's not on the last year of his contract, but they can – this was always – you know, we all know what the deal is with contracts in the NFL, mm-hmm. right? You know, look at the headline and then analyze what comes after the headline. So 4 years, 160 was the headline. It was really 2 years – like 84, you know what I mean? And this is the second of that year. They can get out of the deal after this year for like $22 million dead cap hit, which isn't great, but it's not like we have to keep them. Like this year, Daniel Jones had to be on the roster. It was cap prohibitive. You couldn't get rid of him after 1 year. Look, they made no secret in Hard Knocks, right? They wanted to trade up for Jaden Daniels. They wanted to trade up for Drake May, and they couldn't do it. So, Daniel Jones is going to have one hellacious season here and you know, prove without a doubt that he deserves to come back. And I just don't see that happening. You know, he's not that kind of quarterback, first of all. And, you know, don't forget, Brian Daboll and Joe Shane have seen the other side of this in Josh Allen, right, in Buffalo. They see what a star quarterback can do for your franchise. And, you know, Daniel Jones ain't it.
Paul Schwartz joins here, 105 through the Fan. Compare the hype after, I know it's just 3 weeks, but compare between Odell Beckham and Malik Nabers.
You know, first of all, let social media was not the same thing in 2014 as it is now, right? It just isn't. It was big, but it's not, you know, the monster it is now. Don't forget, Odell missed the first four games of the season with a strained hamstring. So it was delayed, and then he played okay, then he played okay, and then he had that catch against the Cowboys, right? And that was, I like to say, that's when Odell Beckham Jr. became OBJ, you know, with an exclamation point. That catch, you know, LeBron says, oh, my God, the greatest catch I've ever seen, and then he became OBJ. And so the hype was, I mean, it was wild. And they're different personalities, there's no question. Odell was more camera ready, you know what I mean? He was a big talker, in a sense. Malik is not that. Malik is more all business. You know, Odell was hurt a lot in training camp. Malik was not and was just awesome in training camp and has been awesome so far in the first three games. Beat himself up tremendously over a drop with 2 minutes to go in Washington. You know, actually, you know, was so upset. He said, you know, I these veterans look to me, you know, to be a good player, and I let the veterans down. So much so that Dexter Lawrence, the best player on the team, had to, you know, go to Malik and say, just chill out. You didn't let us down. You made plays. You're going to make plays. Everyone makes mistakes. You know, don't, you know, move on. The hype is you know, I don't think it's bigger than it was for Odell, because Odell was such a magnetic personality. You know, Malik is not that in the locker room. But he's a tough dude, man. He is a tough guy. He's a bigger, thicker person as a 20-year-old than Odell was. You know, Odell would cut through the defense like a knife. You know, he'd just, you know, take a slant 15 and go 60. Malik, I think, will almost be like a power forward, you know, who's faster than everyone, who will get down a field and box you out and jump over you and make a catch and then maybe push you down and keep running. You know, different a little bit. But, you know, equally awesome right now.
Cowboys win?
I think the Cowboys win, yeah. I feel strongly about it because, look, it's Pavlov. Right? You know, I've seen Dak Prescott, and sometimes when the Cowboys are down and people are questioning him, that he just comes in and lights it up. You know, I'd sort of be surprised if the Cowboys don't score 30 points. Now, I know I'm not as close of it to it as you are, and seeing the dysfunction and you know, the bad stuff that they've had. But I don't think the Giants can jump on them like the Saints could. I really don't. They can't run through them like the Ravens did. So, look, and it's going to be, you know, 30,000 Cowboy fans probably in the building today, you know, maybe a little less, maybe a little more. So, yeah, I think I'd be really surprised if the Cowboys win. And if the Giants are 2-2 and the Cowboys are 1-3 after tonight, then Giant fans are going to be ecstatic, and I'm sure Cowboy fans are going to, I don't know what they're going to be doing. Whatever comparison you can say out there, it'll be something bad, I'm sure.
Paul, thank you so much for the time again this year. We appreciate it, and enjoy the game tonight. Paul Schwartz.
All right. Thanks, guys.
On the D&M Leasing Hotline. The latest that's happening with the mess at UNLV, and guess who Diddy's roommate is? on a parent suicide watch. Next on Sean and RJ.